start today, the Torah Way, Northwest London, Monday, 4th of Kislev, 20th of November, Rabbi Simchi Yakubovich Shlita, Building Foundations.
Saying building foundations, what we mean by building foundations. If anything, when it comes to it, people always say to me, you're coming to speak here at Torah Way, are you going to give out on chinuch or not? And the answer is, when we have children, they're forever. I remember hearing it from the rebbes themselves, the rebbes themselves say, when you have kids, you marry them off, you're still the father of Me'avashim, you're there till the end. Chinuch isn't defined just with the way we treat our children, but generally in society, the way we're building the kiddush and moving it forward in the future generations. We talk about Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis is the utmost, if you will, when it comes to how we look at the obvious, how they brought up the children. And there's two elements that really shine through in how you build it. One is unconditional love, and what does love mean in the Torah, which we will look at today. And the other one is resilience. We're going to walk our way backwards, if you will. This week's parasha Vayetze, at the end of the parasha, we find that Yaakov Avinu turns to Lavan. Lavan has been trying to kill him. We know the night before, Lavan meets up with Yaakov Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he says, you are not to harm Yaakov Avinu. Okay, not to harm Yaakov, don't touch him. When Lavan meets with Yaakov, he's not going to physically harm him. Yaakov gets very upset after Lavan kept looking for his geshke, for his avodah zarah, and he gives him what for. He says, Lule yeleke avi yeleke Avraham, pachad yisok, hoyli ki atarekum shinachtonim, I would have been sent out with nothing, I would have been poor and oni, garnished. And this for a few psukim, Yaakov was really ramming it back to Lavan. You really had nothing, you were destroying me. You kept trying to swindle me. You would have destroyed me in the sense I had to work to get married. I had to get my wife. I had to get my kids. The very animals. Lavan appears to be hard of hearing. If you take a look at the next pasuk of Vayan Lavan, Vayimel Yaakov, Abonai Sponosai, Vabonim and the sons of Bonai, are my sons, Vatsoini, Vachoyel Asher Toroy Elihu. It doesn't make any sense. We've got a pasuk, psukim before, well, Yaakov Avinu highlights and makes it very, very clear that he worked for everything fair and square. And Lavan's response is genius. He says, you're right, but everything you have is mine anyway. I don't understand. Now, if you want to go back to the Gemara when Lavan's sending off his sister Rivka at the time, and then he has, what's Lavan's catch? We say, Arami Yevidovi. Lavan didn't have any intention or issue with Yaakov Avinu living. As long as Yaakov lived by him. As long as the ruchnis of Yaakov couldn't grow. Lavan had a problem with Yaakov left what he would become. Now Yaakov is safe physically. Yaakov has nothing to worry about. On the spiritual level, Rabbi Yaakov Kulis itself would say, there was nothing that Lavan could ever affect at all when it came, the author of the Memloyas. How Yaakov could never ever have nothing to fear with Lavan. If he lived with Lavan, there was nothing he would be scared of. Lavan turns around, he says to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov, I can't kill you physically. I know that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made that line in the sand very clear. But don't worry. You, where do you stem from? Yitzchak. What did Yitzchak have? Esau. He separated the Kedusha and the Tumah till it came to you. What did Abraham have? He had a Yishmael. And he had a Yitzchak. You think you've got the Shiftei Kol? You think you've got the Shvatim? No, no, no. You come from a Mokim of Tumah. A place of Tumah. You come from me. Everything you seek to build comes from a mokim of tumah. And if you come from a mokim of tumah, you cannot grow. Your source is contaminated. So Lavan seems to have the last laugh. What does Yaakov Avinu do? Yaakov says, let's build a wall. Today in politics, it's very famous to spill the wool. Yeah. But his intention is you stay on this side, I stay on this side. What does Rashi say? Rashi says in Pasuk Mem Vav, Vayomer Yaakov le'echov, to his brothers. Who are these echov? His sons. In time of milchama, the sons, they become the brothers. Yaakov even starts something brand new with his sons. He says, this day that comes along and he says, look at where you come from. New beginnings. Build a wall. Remember, we are starting something new. Love and you stay there. That's what Chazal say. Years later, we know when Bilam, who descended from Lavan, those who say he was Lavan, came to destroy Yaakov Avinu. The wall, the idea of the wall is we do not come across one. And Bilam came all the way to destroy what makes a Ben Yaakov. Yaakov understands Lavan. You want to destroy me? No problem. He takes his hands. Let's build resilience right now. This is where you come from. Build the wall. Many times I see it with, in my line of work, not just in chinuch, with people who don't come from the most orthodox of families. And they turn to me and they say, look at my background, look what I am. There is no such thing that you can't come and start anew. We talk about the idea of being resilient to our children often. Yaakov Avinu managed to say, we are building something, we're something special. What makes a person special in the eyes of a Torah? Why is resilience so important? Why is it that a person has to have the chizik to understand I can start anew, that nothing stops me? There's a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara's in Hedden, the Tzaddik base. The Gemara says, Omer base, it says, Nebuchadnezzar could have surpassed David the Melech. He began to sing a shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He begins to sing a shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the shira, a powerful shira, it would have surpassed the hidden of David HaMelech. Understand, the shira of a Roshan like Nebuchadnezzar who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash could have surpassed the shira, the hidden of David HaMelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a malach to the mouth of Nebuchadnezzar, gives him a tap, hit on the mouth, he stops. Question. It seems like Hashem has his favorites. The idea is that a Rosha starts to do a little bit of Shira that can surpass the Tehillim of David HaMelech. And what do you do, Rabbi Nishleim? You send the Malach to stop him from being able to sing Shira. It's genius, right? It's what my Talmidim in year 6 would call teacher's pet. You know, the little kid says, ah, he's the Tzaddik, he's the goody-goody, you look after him. The kid would ask that question. The Kotzker Rebbe as a Tzal said something so beautiful and powerful. David HaMelech had the hardest life any one of us could think. He's got his entire, first of all, in his youth, nobody thought much of him. That's not hard. Okay. He was alone. Nobody disturbed him. He became leader. I'm sort of accepting that quickly. His father-in-law tries to kill him. He lost family left, right, and center. In his late years, Avishalim, his own son, rebels against him with the intention to kill him. David HaMelech had the hardest life imaginable. Not one second of it was glorious. Compared to Nebuchadnezzar's life, he was a bloodthirsty maniac, but he didn't suffer nearly what David HaMelech had to go through. And David HaMelech was a tzaddik. Nebuchadnezzar, any suffering he did, he brought on himself. David HaMelech? But David HaMelech never stopped saying Tehillim when things got tough. When things were hard, you see David HaMelech is saying Tehillim. When things are good, David HaMelech is saying Tehillim. Nebuchadnezzar gets a little clap from a malach and he stops. That's the godless of Yeshir that Rebbe Nishleim turns around? No. Shkoich, you're not going to surpass David HaMelech. That's the Indian of the Malach coming, give you a little clap. That's when you quit. That's when you stop. The idea of resilience, of what it means to build up our children and the future, is right through the Torah. Yet, it is with great sadness that many times it comes at a cost. How do you balance it out? And the idea is Ahava. What is the definition of Ahava in the Torah? What is love? We take a look back to Yitzchok Avinu when he married Rivka. Rashi makes it very clear. Yitzchok takes his wife, Rivka, yeah, and he sees what? He takes her to the oil, and he sees the Pasuk says killing. He saw all the sameness that happened by his mother, the cloud, the candles, the challah. Oh! And then the Pasuk uses the term, he loved her. The idea of Lashon of Ahava. Why? He could see the same potential of what actually existed in her. Jump all the way later, you look at Yosef HaTzadik, the father loved him. Why? Ben Zakun, he's not the Ben Zakun. Binyamin is the true Ben Zakun. So what's this you're talking about Yosef HaTzadik. Unkelus, Targum Unkelus Bach Hakim. Unkelus says, he is the wise son. What does that mean? Yaakov Avinu understood in being able to see his son, Yosef HaTzadik, he had something. What did he have? He had the ability to look after his brothers. That was the Yosef HaTzadik we're dealing with. Yosef HaTzadik knew what it truly meant to guide his brothers. He would be able to help them, guide them. How he went about it, the criticism of Yaakov Avinu showing that love and the emphasis, the only criticism one could ever actually find upon that is that Yaakov Avinu could have highlighted all the potential of the other brothers. We find that before Yaakov Avinu was Nifta, the Medrash says Reuven wasn't ever given the full Musa till he was Nifta. Why? Because he didn't want to push Reuven down a certain route. He knew that if he pushed Reuven with certain Musa, Reuven, by definition of his character, could take it the wrong way and it could lead down a very dangerous path. Yaakov Avinu was aware of every son's potential. On his level, when the Torah criticized later on how he went about complimenting and putting one son up, on his level, do you think Yaakov Avinu had every son's potential? He did. Faket, on the contrary. That's what made it so special about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik understood, he's going to use his potential for the other brothers. That's what he highlighted. It didn't mean he failed to see it. Forget, he knew each child's potential. What each child is supposed to do. Love is about seeing that potential. I always find it incredible that it's something that we don't often talk about enough. The Medrash makes it clear, the Emunah brings two different sources for this as well, when we talk about Avraham Avinu and Yishmael. You know, it's an incredible thing that when Hagar was upsetting Sarah, and Sarah comes to Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu says, send her. Send her, do what you want with her. She's yours. Do it as you wish. Go treat her the way you want, till the point Hagar runs off. When it comes to Sarah, who Rashi says had higher levels of prophecy in the Nevuah than Avraham Avinu, and she clearly, therefore, is on a much higher level of Nevuah, turns to Avram, get rid of her son Yishmael. In fact, I'll go further than that. Sarah says, Im b'ni im Yitzchok, with my son, with Yitzchok, this child will not inherit. Why does she have to say Im b'ni im Yitzchok? Chazal teaches. Rabbi Akiva brings it down a couple of times in the Gemara Makos. When it comes to any mitzvah that you have any kesher with, you are a partner. And when you come and you give advice, you are the partner. It's on you. Who advised Avraham Avinu to get married to Hagar? She did. Why? Have children. So the source of having a Yishmael belongs to Sarah. Because Sarah is the one who's advising at the end of the day to Avraham Avinu, get married and have this child. Now Sarah chaps the child. She says, Im b'ni, im Yitzchok. With my son, my Yitzchok. I don't want this to be my source. And she says to Avraham, get rid of this child. Now again, Avraham Avinu, Rashi makes it very clear. Sarah's level of Nevuah surpasses that of Avraham Avinu. Sarah Avinu has got a much higher level. He doesn't listen to her straight. He still consults with the Ribbono Shel. That's kicking your kid out of the house. That's something that he can't just... Sarah Avinu says it, trust me. It's not just an emotional outcry. Rashi says, doesn't matter. That's kicking your child out of the house. Then I need to go and consult with the Ribbono Shel. Ribbono Shel says, I can listen to your wife. Yishmael. But what happens to this Yishmael that the Medrash teaches us? Avraham Avinu still takes his camel. Okay, Sarah made the list of rules. You can't go into the tent. He visits his son. Yishmael, at the end of his day, did teshuvah. Yishmael, at the end of the day, goes back to where the Ovis are. Yishmael still has got, and Rav Hutner Zatzal said, the mouthless there. Yishmael came out with something. Yishmael came out with something. A father didn't let go. That child comes back. If we talk about what the term Ahava means, the Naman Bidoshim, we don't have time to go into today, when Avraham Avinu is asked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is when truly the term love comes up, the son that you love, and it comes out, he says, which one? I love them both. A father can see the potential of his children. There's no limit to that. When we look at last week's parasha, we find Yitzchak. Famously, everyone mitches around Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu, Pachad Yitzchak. Talk about Yitzchak Avinu. When he davened mitzvah, what it meant, he went to Shemayim. Yitzchak Avinu is not some nar. Sadly, we turn to lots of kids in Cheder. We teach them that Yitzchak was fooled, and we teach them the famous Rashi by Esau, and it's wrong. Yitzchak wasn't for one second fooled. Chazal teaches it wasn't that Yitzchak Avinu didn't know what an Esau was. Yitzchak Avinu hoped and prayed that Esav could become the Antoninus to Yaakov's Rebbe. Where Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi wrote the Mishnah, and Antoninus, the Roman Emperor, were on such a level and with such a kasher, that was truly the hope and prayer of what could come out between the two of them. Antoninus Esav with the Rebbe, with the Yaakovim, together building an Am. In fact, we find that in the next six parsha, jump ahead, where Yaakovim on his level is punished because he hit Dina, because Dina could have had the potential to change an Esav. Esav, Yaakovim was bang on the money. Had all the potential to reach levels and heights beyond our understanding. He didn't reach it, true. The criticism of the end of the day doesn't lie with Esau. But the potential and the ability of what Esau could have achieved, Yitzchak Avinu saw it in his son. To the extent that when it came to the initial plan to kill his son, Esau has to hold himself back. Why does Esau hold himself back? Because Esau, he doesn't want to just go along and kill his brother. Because at the end of the day, his father will be hurt. That's a level. How can I do this to my father? How can I turn around and hurt my father? What will I gain out of that? The idea of when we talk about the unconditional aspect of love, there's so much more to it from the Torah's perspective. I see the potential. What drives the person downwards is they think I need so much more to be something more special. This would be something that would haunt Am Yisrael right to the Midbar. Throughout the Midbar, Am Yisrael keep doing the same mistake every time it comes to ego. Whether it's miscalculating, they need to have a leader, but the ego, despite the fact, leaders said otherwise, whether you jump all the way down to a Korach. Anyone think about what Korach's biggest mistake was? Korach's mistake was, I need to reach higher levels to do more good. Korach himself, leave the Medrash of the wife out of it. Korach himself understood and believed that he himself had that, he had to reach higher levels. It's a shame that Korach never actually learned the Gemara in Yuma, that people of him base. And Meir Omer, Meir says, Yochid, Shasta Tshuva, Meir in the Cholayim Kulay, Yochid, Shasta Tshuva, the whole world is forgiven. Yet the same Gemara, Yuma also says that a Koyan, God will have to be Mechap for all of Am Yisrael. Explained to the Gemara that a Yochid, when he does Tshuva, he's Meir the whole world that could have stopped him from doing an Aveir, because each person, Koy Sarayim Zelazet. Korach's greatest mistake would be that he thought he needed more to be able to reach to help others. He himself wasn't enough. There was a lack of. You talk about being able to secure ourselves from repeating such a mistake. There are many elements to where Korach strayed. The person needs to realize and recognize the potential. When we're building a foundation in Am Yisrael, and we continue looking at the, as people call it, a chinuch crisis, world's changing. It's not that changed. You know, I had somebody say to me recently, look at the world today. There's so much influence coming in. I said, look at Am Yisrael. We're the Midbar, surrounded by the Shechinah, Anane HaKavod, and still elements of wanting to be like the Mitzrayim creep in. You have so many things, and this is all the way back then. You could blame the era of Rav. When the Mice, you're in the dead, you're in the Midbar, you're in the wilderness, you're with the Revision. The element has always existed. What defines and makes you so special is not forgetting where you come from, where you stem from, what makes you special. What they always did putting into their children was making sure that each and every single child understood the potential, loving that child. Yaakovinu's greatest brother before he was lifted was reminding each and every child of their purpose on earth. And you talk about obviously, you look at the Chorban. The Gemara Shabbos, Kufiyat Tesamit Beis, it's one of my favorite Gemaras for a number of reasons. Whether it's teaching a Talmud, the same Omid of Gemara that teaches us about Churban, starts with Omid Yeshme Rabbo, and you shouldn't speak. I'll tell you something. When I was a little child, it was very common that we would like to step out of the shul at the age of 9 or 8 to catch up with our friends. And I remember our Rav at the time, the Rebbe Zatzal, would start something which affected me a lot. So he would turn around by every Kaddish, he would look at me, or he would look at the other, and he would say, Omid Yeshme Rabbo. And when we did it, and you would freeze. At the end, the Rebbe would take my hand as I came out, well done. The Rebbe's kind of counting on my Amen Yeshmi Rabbah. That's my little 9-year-old brain going, you know, I'm bringing something to the table. I began to scream like a Kalina, like a Sadi Gerd, because I thought, that's what the Rebbe wants. Trust me, explain to me the balance. But it left such an effect on a young, impressionable child. That I am bringing something to the table, that my Amen Yeshmi Rabbah, that means the role of the shul has to turn around and point it out and put in the geshmak. It left the warmkeit and the warmth, understanding that I have something to bring to the table. The davening means so much more. That's the impression on a child. What about the adults? The Gemara and Shabbos, so that's Amen Yeshmi Rabbah at the top. The Gemara and Shabbos lists 6 reasons over the Churban Bayis. And all the reasons are horrific when you think about it. So Gemara Shabbos, what do you expect? Gemara Shabbos says that the reason for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash was that Am Yisrael did not keep Shabbos. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu Midah Keneged Midah burnt it with fire. But the Gemara on Shabbos also says Am Yisrael did not say Shema in time. Talks about how there was no chinuch for the children, how people, when they saw something wrong, stuck their heads in the ground. There's no social responsibility and guidance to the youth at the time. When nobody respects the Rabbanim, the Marasha on that Gemara says, Kahuna was corrupt. Nobody respected the Kahuna Bichlal. It was a corrupt affair. Nobody cared. There was no leadership. There was no guidance. Society was crumbling before their eyes. So let's jump over to the Gemara in Gittin. Famous Gemara. The Gemara in Gittin turns around, we all know it from Zion, talks about the Kamsa about Kamsa. I don't have to elaborate, I think most of this room know the story at this point. What's interesting is Rashi says, in the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, he says that Kamsa and Bar Kamsa were not father and son. And this is where things get very interesting, because the Marsha disagrees. The Marsha politely says, if Rashi wouldn't have said that they are not father and son, he would argue that they are father and son. The Marsha takes a very strong opinion. Why is this so frightening? Quite simply, Pliny, who invited initially the Kamsa, at the end the Bar Kamsa came to the party, means to say he got along with the father pretty well. It means to say the son, the Bar Kamsa, was the enemy of Pliny. What was the father doing? How did the father allow a fight to continue with supposedly one of his really good friends with his son? The implications of the Marsha is frightening. Where was the father again? Where was the father guiding the child? Why was Kamsa not stepping in? Why was Bar Kamsa was left for what? To fight with Pliny? Because he's your friend and therefore it's okay? You start looking at the Gemaras, there's no question that sinas chinam led to the destruction. But when you start seeing the effect of one thing stacked on top of the other, the domino effect is unquestionable. The leadership that comes from the top and the guidance the parents need to give the children is without question. Where are the parents? When did they forget they had children they were supposed to guide? Gone is the second Beis HaMikdash. Forget the first. Where is the father in this story? If we go even further, we can discuss the mother. Parents, where are they? And this is when you take a look at the Gemara, whether it's Shabbos, Yitin, and you see this connection. No leadership, no parent, nothing. And the Marsha highlights it for us. The Marsha makes it very, very clear. In the parasha where we count through, Yaakovinu wanting to build the Shiftei Kol, Yaakovinu understands it takes work. It wasn't stumble. Yaakov didn't want to give Rachel the easy go on getting. He understood that one has to put the strength in. There's criticism on that level. Yaakov understood the effort and energy and tears go into building a nation. Yaakov really understood it good and proper. But Yaakov understood how to see the potential. Again, we covered the one could have on the level of Yaakov criticism. At the end of the day, when we define what truly made that godless for Yaakov Avinu, what truly defines the Yaakov Avinu is continuing what the obvious put in. Whether it was Avraham who looked at Yishmael or Yitzchak and he said, I can love them both. And had to re-question what he was actually doing in the first place. Yitzchak understanding Esau has potential. And to compare that to a David, David HaMelech Shmuel HaNavi understood as well, the very same koyach of an Esau. But David HaMelech knew how to take all that koyach. Yitzchak was right on the mark. Esav just needed the extra push. It was Esav at the end of the day. Even Yaakov Avinu was criticized at the end. Why didn't he do the extra step with Dina? Seeing the potential in all our children is true ahava. Teaching them to be resilient in the world is knowing you don't give up. Even when things get tough, you still say Tehillim. You continue the Derech of David. You continue. Things are hard, you say Tehillim again. You keep marching. You don't stop. That is the definition of godless. That definition of building foundations, that is how we continue to build Am Yisrael, by not forgetting our role and our responsibility to our children, by not forgetting what true Ahava means and seeing that every single member of our community, of Am Yisrael, has got a potential, and how are we fully utilizing that potential? What are they truly becoming? Shkoyach.